Good evening po muli sa lahat. Ako po si Jovan Villote and I serve as one of the pastors now Crossroads Church of Dubai.
For tonight, this is my joy. It's a great privilege and a joy for me to open up and study and look at what God's word for us, Psalms 19. And before I go further, I would just like to echo yung sinabi or in announce ni Pastor John earlier that we finally have our sermon series for the couple of weeks. So you can go through details and not only go through some mga details, but at the same time, I want to encourage you to pray for our pastors na magli-lead sa ating mga sermon series. Yeah. And I think that's all that I wanted to echo. And as what I've said, it's a great privilege for me to be preaching on God's Word back sa Book of Psalms. It's been 4 years since I've been preaching this passage. In fact, it was my first sermon last 2018, and the Lord has been gracious and been faithful. Di lang sa buhay ko, but for my family, growing in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. Before po tayo dumako sa ating passage, let me lead us in our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we glorify your name in all the great things you have done. By the mighty works of your hands, you have revealed your ultimate glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. Ang prayer namin tonight, Panginoon, is that you will open our hearts and our minds as we receive the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back when I was in college, madalas ako tumambay sa part ng school namin. May area doon kung saan mahilig talaga akong mag-stay at magbabad, magbawas ng oras to witness something. At hindi yun sa garden, kundi sa library mismo. So sa library na to, may section dyan that shows yung American Studies. At the same time, sa American Studies section na to, marami silang compilation of yung, naalala nyo yung National Geographic ng mga magazines. Ano. So, habang I enjoyed looking sa mga magagandang litrato o yung mga landscapes na kuha ng isang photographer, and looking at this, mga sarisaring bundok, mga galaxies, underwater, sea creatures, at iba pa. Ako po ay namamangha, hindi lang kung paano kinumpos ng photographer yung mga magagandang landscapes na to, but I was amazed, you know, how it was created by the ultimate God na siyang dakilang lumikha ng lahat ng mga magagandang bagay, magagandang tanawin. It seems that every time we see, we hear, or listening some interesting things around us, we always get curious. And these things attract us easily. We pay attention sa mga bagay na to that caught our senses, whether it could be a material thing, a scenic view, or even a specific or a catchy kind of music, di po ba? We tend to pause and ponder upon these amazing objects, things, or creation. In the same manner, sa kay David, when he witnessed God's creation, his eyes, his heart were steered by the beauty and the glory of God that is present in creation. He was amazed by the splendor and the majesty of God when he gazed upon the sky or yung heavenly expanse. He was probably inspired on what he saw and witnessed about God's glory in creation. That is why it could be that this led him to compose a prayer of some that acknowledges yung kalwalhatian ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga nilikha at sa kanyang mga salita. And as David ponders to the glory of God, this caused him to respond in reverence of true worship when God uttered his divine commands. So this passage is a beautiful picture of God's awesome display of glory in the world and in his word. In our passage tonight, we will also witness how God displays His divine glory in His creation and through the beauty of God's Word. That yung Word ng salita, ang perfect salita ng Panginoon, it purifies the hearts of His servants that urges them to trust Him or to trust His inerrant and His infallible Word. So Psalms 19, we know that writer na to has been wrote this psalm is written by David, and sa Jewish Bible it is found in the Ketuvim sections or yung teaching sections ng book. And since this passage falls in the category of teaching along the other books of wisdom ng Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, these teachings taught about God's wisdom to His people. And therefore, His people are commanded to obey the instructions of the Scripture and abide with them for them to acquire insight and understanding. We can say that the idea ng passage ito is found in Psalm 19, summarizes how God shows His divine glory in His creation and through the beauty of His Word. It purifies the heart of His servants. So, from the beginning of the Bible, sa Genesis, God, we know that God created everything, right? In heaven and in earth and other living creatures that revealed His glory in them. So when David wrote this psalm, it could be that his intention, that he wanted his immediate audience that time to behold the greatness of God and to abide His law for them to be blameless and purified before God's holy presence. So it's the same thing para sa ating mga Kristiyano, that in this present age, we are to give glory to God. For He revealed Himself to us through His Word in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. And based on this response, I wanted to share with you yung main theme or yung central idea ng passage natin. It says, since God revealed His ultimate glory through His Son, Jesus Christ, we are to worship and abide in Him. And out of this main theme, we will see two responses why Christians should come to God because of His timeless creation and yung kanyang command. First response, because God revealed His glory in creation, we should worship Him. That is verses 1 to 6. And then the second response is that because God has given His commands to His children, we should abide in Him. That is seen in chapter 19, verses 7 to 14. Let's go with the first response. Because God revealed His glory in creation, we should worship Him. Verse 1, to the choir master, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. First one, we see here that David proclaims that the heavens declare the glory of God. This noun is being described ng dalawang verb or action word dyan. The action which is to declare and to proclaim. The word declare is translated sa New American Standard Bible, which is telling or tell. In other words, that God's glory is manifested over the sky above or the expanse of the heavens that He created. The vastness of the sky above tells about His magnificent splendor. The heavens, continually, day after day, night after night, ito nagpapatuloy, nagpapakita, they display the fact that there is a creator. Yung makikita natin sa verse 2. Even though creation does not speak audibly in its words, o yung boses, it goes out to the ends of the earth. The message from nature about the glory of God reaches all nations and is equally clear to them all. Starting from verse 1, the author implicitly defines the name of God as Elohim. Hindi natin nakikita dyan. But pointing to God as the creator, a Hebrew word that we can use or title that we can use is God as Elohim. Elohim, which refers back to the creation time in the book of Genesis. The basic meaning behind that that name Elohim is one who has strength or power or effect. Elohim is the infinite, all-powerful God and shows by His work that He is the creator, the sustainer, and the supreme judge of the world. And now, since there are two names na binigay dito or in-addressed dito sa kay God, that He's the author used to describe in this passage na some scholars argue daw na that this passage has two distinct composition. Kumbaga, hati ang verses 1 at separate sa verse 7. Yung understanding nila. What other authors understands na sa verse 1 to 6 daw, it refers a title that God as a Elohim, even though it's not explicitly stated. And then, sa verse 7 to 14, God was called as Yahweh, since David called him Yahweh, or Lord, 7 times. No, we believe this is God with two different titles. And so both are valid titles or claims, because we know that there are also other titles that we know about God. Di po ba? Right? Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, and the list, Jehovah Jireh, and everything. So, however, for David, he showed that the Lord God is the author of both of His world and His word, and wrote it in a unified psalm. So, hindi siya magkahati. It's all written in a unified psalm. God revealed His glory in both ways, again, in His creation and in His word. And as God's glory revealed His inanimate creation, creating yung stars and sun and the moon and the sky to testify His greatness, He is the one who made everything, including yung special creation niya, which is man. He created them all for His glory. That is why we, who have been created by God, should embody God's holiness, because He created us in His own image. And we should worship Him like David. Ang puso dapat natin should be steered by worship and reverence. We praise God and thank Him, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, sabi sa Psalms 139 verse 4. Now, you may ask, what does creation show about God? Well, the purpose of this, what we've said, is to show His great power and His wisdom. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12 says, "It is He who made us, the earth, by His power, who established the world by His wisdom." And in line with our theology, we affirm that God created the universe to show His glory. And also, we must understand that He did not need to create the universe in order to be fully God. Friends, let us not think na ang Panginoon, kinreate tayo ng Panginoon because He was lonely. Neither God created all things because He wants to get more glory or lacks something. No, this is not true. No? Because God is sufficient in His being and His character. If we have this kind of thinking that God cannot be God without us, then we deny the truth about His independence. We must affirm that when God created the universe, it was totally a free act of God. Revelation chapter 4:11 says, "You created all things, and by Your will, they existed and were created." This is such amazing things to witness and how God displays His own glory. Now, so verse 2. Sabi niya, "Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." I'll continue reading. "There's no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, He has set a tent for the sun." Now let's stop right there. So verse 2 to 4 is a secondary idea that has been derived from verse 1, that God revealed His glory in His creation, in which yung summary of it, that David emphasizes yung constant communication or yung revelation of God's glory sa kanyang knowledge throughout time. And so verse 4 to 6, I'll continue reading. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, in which comes out, verse 5, like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuits to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. So, what significance does David refer dito when he talks about yung paggamit niya ng unique imagery, especially sa verse 5 na sinabi niya, when he was referring to them, in them that he has set a tent for the sun. David wants to show a contrast within the pagan perception o yung understanding nila of the sun's journey. Maraming connotation ang patungkol dito regarding yung mga pagan beliefs. Sa mga ancient Near East cultures, it was assumed na figuratively, yung sun daw, the sun ran a daily course through the heavens. And according sa Mesopotamian text, ang tent for the sun refers to the gates of heaven where the sun enters and exits. Not all heavenly body have paths or courses in these texts and represented as bands across the sky. And very familiar din to sa mga Egyptian materials. They refer this concept in both sa kanilang text and iconography, where they refer the sun god, they named him na si Ra, who is one of the oldest deities ng Egyptian pantheon of gods. Si Ra daw is portrayed as riding in a bark or yung maliit na sailing vessel. Siya daw to, across the sky, between enter and exit spots on either of the horizon. So it seems that the pagan people that time valued the sun. Ito yung paniniwala nila. Because, para sa kanila, it means everything. It even gives life according sa kanilang belief. And therefore, they worship the sun god. So, why David used this imagery? It could be that the author wanted to communicate that neither the sun nor the heavens are to be worshipped. Just like the case sa mga pagan religions that time. But in the Bible, only God is to be worshipped. For He is the only creator and ruler of all. Look at David's amazement when he witnessed yung glory ng Panginoon dito, which is revealed sa kanyang creation. He knows that God is the only living God and He is to be worshipped, for He created all things. This divine revelation motivates sa kay David to worship of what God has done. How about the relevance of this message sa ating mga Kristiyano ngayon? I believe that this message was given to us so that we know where to direct ang worship natin. We should give and offer our worship to God directly and not to the other lesser gods or idols. This is what God told when He made His covenant back sa Mount Sinai. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 5 says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." So as we look at God's handiwork in nature and over the expanse of heavens, when was the last time that we were amazed and worshiped God for such a magnificent beauty and creation? What other lesser gods do you worship these days? Do you worship the true Creator or just the creation? How often we constantly meditate on the truth of how it reveals about the Creator My prayer tonight is I hope that we are worshiping the only true and living God and not those lesser gods. But nevertheless, God deserves all the honor and praise from His creation because all glory is due to Him. He didn't create all these things because to make Himself complete. He's already complete since the beginning of time. He's perfect and complete, for the triune God reigns from everlasting to everlasting. So we have this privilege now to come before God and offer our praise and worship in Him alone. And as we meditate upon the marvelous works ng Panginoon, how He revealed His glory in creation, I hope our eyes and our hearts are encouraged to worship Him. Let's move on sa ating second response. Because God has given His commands to His children, we should abide in Him. Verses 7 and 14. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So obviously, makikita natin dito that the following structure shifts from the scene of creation, or God's world, moving into God's word. In these following verses na binasa natin, we see that David mentioned the name of the Lord 7 times. He begins to describe the true nature of God's law and its influence on those who would follow it. The word law refers to the Torah dito. This refers to the 5 books na isinulat ni Moses. He said in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The perfect law of God can change people, right? For it leads them not into their destruction, but in righteousness. Both yung Old and New Testament testifies the same truth. Mabasahin natin sa Psalms 23 verse 3. Yung sabi niya, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And sa New Testament, sa Romans 7:12, so the law is holy. The commandment is holy and righteous and good. Sa 2 Timothy 3:16, na binasa earlier ni Pastor John, all scriptures is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we see that these verses given by God to His people demands them to believe it and live it out. Especially kung ikaw ay Kristiyano. I want to encourage you that let God's infallible and inerrant word serve as your roadmap to grow in holiness, sanctification, and this road will lead you to the presence of God Himself. Going back sa verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And sabi dyan that the law's precepts sa verse 8 should bring what? Should bring joy to the heart. And its command should enlighten one's eyes, those who abide on it. The testimonies of verse 7, yung precepts, yung commands of verse 8 and rules to verse 9 and all specific instructions within the law. In other words, that the perfect law of God will serve as guard rails to the life of a believer. Those who abide in the law of the Lord? Well, definitely their life will be guided by the truth that will enable them to produce joy that will benefit their own soul. So if you believe what David has said about the perfect law of God, then again, what does it expect us for us to do? We are expected to meditate on it, to pray about it, and live it out. Live out the truth that we know from the scriptures. That every time na engage natin yung mga sarili natin into teaching, into reading, to praying, singing, and most especially sa preaching ng salita ng Panginoon, we should meditate on them, reflect on them, submit to the work of the Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts and minds, trusting sa work ng Holy Spirit to know the deeper truth of God's Word and ask for grace to live it out. So verses 10 and 11, David revealed his perception of God's perfect law. He found the Lord's testimony to be desirable and enjoyable rather than a burden to some believers who are trying to please God with their own, with their lives and by doing good works. In showing the value of God's commands, anong ginawa ni David dito? He compared them to gold and honey. Again, going back sa ancient Near East, where the most valuable product that time, and very well known, it brings comfort and probably joy sa mga tao noon, is the products that are gold and honey. And as we know, gold symbolizes wealth. Very common yan dito sa Middle East. Alam, pag ikaw ay galing sa ibang bansa, pag marami kang mga palamuti, especially yung mga shining gold, taga Saudi yan, or taga Dubai yan, or, you know, alam. So, that's it. Gold symbolizes wealth para sa kanila, while honey brings enjoyable pleasure because of its sweet substance. Now, ginawa ulit ni David dito, he compared it. No one can satisfy him. And let's see what satisfies David. However, for David, he desires what? To keep the law rather than anything else. Because he knew that the law would guard him against the dangers of folly and sin, or even fall into idolatry. So he will be spared from the dangers and folly of sin if David keeps God's statutes. Ang sabi niya sa verse 12-14, ito yung prayer and confession ni David. Verses 12 to 14 is a prayer of David for protection and removal of sins. His posture dito before the Lord was with deep humility, something the one that is marked with a mature faith. He desires to live an upright or a blameless and acceptable life before the Lord. Ang sabi niya sa verse 12, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let me read it again sa NIV version, para sa NIV translation, para mas maunawaan pa natin lalo. Ang sabi niya sa verse 12, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, and may they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. This is amazing, mga kapatid, because we read that even though David is considered as a king of Israel, he's a great man, a great warrior who won countless battles sa tulong ng Panginoon, he was also a man after God's own heart. But notice how he humbled himself sa harap ng Panginoon, asking for help. Ang kanyang postura sa harap ng Panginoon ay may kababaang loob at isang puso na may marka ng isang malalim na pananampalataya sa kay Yahweh. Also, listen sa kanyang prayer sa verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. David prayed that he would be forgiven from his faults, and through the law, he will be preserved from sinning intentionally. Because for the sins na ginawa ni David, yung sins he committed in ignorance, the law provided atonement for David. But sa kanyang intentional sins, sins that has been committed big time, like yung sin na ginawa niya kay Bathsheba, there was no ceremonial remedy na nangyari. Though forgiveness was still available if the person repented and confessed his sin. Therefore, David needed God's perfect law and God's enabling power to restrain him from such sins. For us Christians, we learn that the most valuable lesson from David is how he acknowledges and applies the true value of God's word sa kanyang pamumuhay and while fighting sin actively. Para kay David, he needed God's perfect law to deliver him from sin. And how about us sa mga naniniwala sa Panginoon? Who will deliver us from our past, present, and future sins? Sa New City Catechism, meron diyang question sa question number 3. If you know it, you're probably singing it as well. Ang sabi diyan, ang tanong is, can anyone keep the law of God perfectly? Well, the quick answer is, since the fall, there's no human who's been able to keep the law of God perfectly. It echoes somewhat yung sinasabi ni Paul sa Romans 3:23, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are in a desperate and hopeless situation if we have not acknowledged or confessed our sins before God. O di kaya patuloy po natin tinatago at inalagaan yung mga kasalanan na to. If we do that, then we're living under God's wrath. But we know yung nature ng Panginoon natin. Our God is a gracious God in abounding in steadfast love. God revealed His glory over the creation and through His Word. God the Father who created everything in His divine pleasure, who Himself was sufficient in glory and displayed His greatness over His creation so that His people would know and recognize that He is the magnificent and powerful Creator. His glory was manifested when He sent His Son, Jesus, so that the people would come to see the truth and believe. But here's the thing, here's the biggest dilemma or yung problem dito. His people did not believe because they rejected Christ and hated Him. Because of the corruptible power of sin over His people, they were blinded, their hearts were hardened because of rebellion towards God. They worshiped other gods rather than the one and true living God. This is what Romans chapter 1, verse 20, talking about sa mga immorals, people that time. They worship other gods. Ang sabi sa Romans chapter 1 verse 20, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in these things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were hardened or darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling immortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Christians living in this age are also guilty of being unfaithful sa Panginoon. Because instead of following God, we follow our own wicked ways. We choose to obey our own comfort, yung feelings natin, yung desires natin. Rather, obeying completely ang Panginoon. And oftentimes, because of pride na present sa ating mga puso, we fail to worship and to abide and to apply God's word effectively sa ating buhay. But then again, because of His grace and mercy, He allowed His beloved Son to be crucified on our behalf. He suffered and died, bearing the punishment and shame on the cross, and bearing the full wrath of God. Yet because, since Jesus is fully God and fully man, no one takes Him, no one takes His life from Him. But He laid it down in His own accord. I have authority to lay it down, sabi ni Jesus Christ, and I have the authority to take it up again. John 10, verse 18. We are thankful na si Kristo ay nabuhay, that Jesus defeated sin and death. At yung resurrection niya proved that yung payment natin has been paid in full. So, as a response, let us repent from our sins, our own rebellion, and lean not in our own understanding. Magtiwala po tayo sa ginawa ni Kristo sa cross. Dahil wala po tayong kakayanan para salbahin ang ating mga sarili sa mga nagawa nating kasalanan. Our own good works, o yung mga moral attitudes natin, will not declare us righteous before God, but only through the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Matthew 5:17. So if you are here tonight at wala pang totoong relasyon sa Panginoong Jesus, I urge you, pagsisihan po natin ang ating mga kasalanan, ang pagiging rebelde natin sa harap ng Panginoon. Worship God alone at hindi ang mga makamunduhang bagay at ang ibang Diyos-Diyosan. Do not worship the things of this world, kung saan ang namumuno po dito ay si Satan. Rather, worship God alone and abide in His Word. Place your trust in Jesus for salvation. Friends, the author reminds us also from this passage that God's wisdom reveals His glory in the creation and through His perfect Word. So, let's examine yung mga puso natin ngayon. What we really treasure the most and what do we serve ultimately sa ating buhay. It's amazing to know that this passage is still evident sa life natin. We are to abide and to follow the commandments of Scriptures so that we may walk in obedience, living the life that God instructed His people. And the good news is, Jesus accomplished that work for us. Who imaged the lawgiver Himself, and He will be the one to fulfill His divine commands. Because God knows na, again, wala po tayong kakayanan to save our own selves. And this is grace, mga kapatid. That He revealed Himself through His creation and His Word so that we can grow in an intimate relationship sa Kanya. Since God revealed His ultimate glory through His Son, Jesus Christ, we are to worship and abide in Him. So, are you trusting in yourself to keep or fulfill yung mga moral na to, which you can't do? What fuels yung worship natin today? Is it saturated or driven by Scriptures? Brothers and sisters, remember that Jesus has fulfilled all these commandments for you, even paying your penalty for breaking them. Have you made a choice to follow Jesus as your Savior? To that end, I leave the choice for you. Let's pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Father, our prayer tonight is for you to examine our hearts. We even praise you over your creation, but oftentimes we have been blinded by the different temptation na nakapaligid sa amin. Tulungan niyo po kami, enable us to rely in your perfect word. For you have made known yourself to us and revealed your purpose for us to be reconciled and to be holy before your presence. And as we come before your table to partake our communion, we have an assurance na ang tanging dugo lang ni Kristo ang naging silbing lunas sa aming kasalanan. So Lord, bigyan niyo po kami ng grasya para ipamuhay ang inyong mga salita sa mga darating na araw. In Jesus' name, Amen.